Hey everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today we are going to do episode 115.1 and 115.2, which would be 1 Kings chapters 5 and 6, I believe. Yeah. So welcome to everybody. Glad you were able to tune in today, and I don't know how or why you found us. I'm glad that you're here. Not an accident. You know, I believe that God directs us where we're supposed to be. And this is your moment that you're supposed to be here listening to this. So I'm just glad that you're able to do this with us. I say us because it's not just me. There's Jeremiah, who's my co-host once a week. Usually, he has been tied up with a lot of work and stuff going on over there. So hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to record together, which would be great because it's been a couple of weeks since we were able to do that. With that said, I am going to, because we're doing two chapters today, and you can break them up. If you know, you don't have to listen to both of them all at once. It's in your own time. I'm going to go ahead and pray, give you your Bible verse, and then we go ahead and dive into those two chapters. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Holy God, Heavenly Father, we come to you with hearts of gratitude. We are asking you to open up our minds, our hearts, clear ourselves of anything that has to do with the world so that we can focus on you, Lord. And we want to thank you first and foremost for how you provide for us and how you take care of us, even when we don't know that you're doing it. You're on the backside, always there in the background, taking care of business. And we know that you have a plan, and we want to be in your will always. We pray that you will order our steps for the day, guide and direct us, take out any distractions, and help us to be focused on what you want us to be doing today and every day. But of course, we are most grateful and thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful for his obedience to you and the sacrifice of his body, his blood for us so that we can have redemption and salvation, forgiveness of all of our sins. Without the blood of Christ, we do not have that forgiveness, and we have to believe that with all of our hearts. So thank you. And we thank you for the gift of eternal life in heaven with you and him. It's such a huge thought, but it's amazing to know that we are saved because of the blood of Jesus. So thank you. Lord, I'm asking for blessings over my family, over Jeremiah, all of my friends. Just watch out for each one of us. Guard us. Protect us from any evil or evildoers, Lord. We know the enemy's out there, and we are not of this world. We know that we have Jesus in our hearts, but we have to live in this world. And so protect us from anything that could possibly harm us emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever that might be, Lord. We know that you're out there protecting us because through you, we know that all things are possible. I ask the same blessings over those who are out there listening, watching. I don't know what anybody's needs are out there, and I don't know who's listening. I don't know who's out there. But I'm praying for each one of them. I know that we have a faithful listener who sometimes contacts us. Teresa, you're out there if you're listening, praying for whatever needs that you have in this moment. I don't know how or why you popped into my head, but you did. And I'm glad that you did. So just praying for God's direction over you. I pray for his strength to be over you, whatever physical needs you have, emotional needs, whatever that might be. Lord, just cover our friend Teresa. I've never actually met Teresa. She's more of a friend of Jeremiah's, but you know what? She's my friend too through this podcast. So thank you for her. But Lord, just protect everybody. Watch over them. It's not my words or me. I know it's all through you. And I don't have any, you know, special connections or anything, but I know that you honor the prayers of your people. So Lord, you say we have not because we ask not. So I'm asking for that covering over each and every person out there who's listening or watching. Lord, we invite you into this time in your word. We pray you anoint it and reveal to us what it is that you want us to learn from today. I have no idea what that might be. But we know that we're learning about Solomon, and that's has a lot to do with wisdom. So maybe that's what we're supposed to be learning, to have wise choices. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that reminds me of, I saw this t-shirt that I want to get so bad. God's not finished writing your story, so stop taking away the pen. Really, you know, we want to be in his will. We want to be doing what he wants us to do. And so we got to stop writing our own story and start listening to what God wants us to do. All right. Today's Bible verse comes from, second time again, this is Psalm. Psalm has a lot of good meaty stuff in it. And there's like, I don't know, 100 something Psalms to be read. And I think, Proverbs is written by Solomon. I was going to say Psalms is written by David, his father. So, you know, a lot of wisdom and a lot of heart that's written in those two books. But today's comes from Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Wait for him. He's going to do amazing things if you just wait. It's all in his time. It's not in our time. And sometimes we get impatient, but I have seen God working. I have seen God working in my own family. I've seen him working in friends. My friend Sharon and I keep praying every day, specifically for people that we know and that we love. And I know people think, you know, that it's not real. I'm going to tell you firsthand, I don't think it's coincidence. This is God working through us and answering prayers. And I have seen just recently God answering prayers for healing, for marriages, for families, for, you know, I keep praying for some of the people that I know to come back to God. You know, if they've ever knew God to begin with, which I believe they did, we're praying for their hearts to come back, you know, that the scales be removed from their eyes. But it's all in God's timing. I mean, I didn't get saved until I was 33, you know, so, you know, God had a plan. I had to be in a specific place at a specific time in this universe, in this world, and this timeline. And so I was where I had to be in order to meet my husband. I had to go through a whole bunch of junk to get to him. He was doing his own thing, and he got to where he needed to be. It was like, you know, you can't make this stuff work. I mean, you can't force this stuff to happen. It's God, and that's the only explanation for it. You know, people believe in coincidences. I do not believe in coincidences. I believe in God. So, but it's all in his time. So wait for the Lord, be strong, you know, just hang in there because God will show up, and it's all in his time, like I said. So that's the verse of the day, Psalm 27:14. All right. Let's go ahead and read. As I said, we are in episode 115.1 and 115.2. I have not read these. I have not highlighted, so this is all fresh. So, preparations for building the temple. Do you remember David wanted to build the temple, but God said, no, it's going to be your son Solomon who does it? Here we are. King Hiram of Tyre, had always been a loyal friend of David. When Hiram learned that David's son Solomon was the new king of Israel, he sent ambassadors to congratulate him. Then Solomon sent this message back to him. You know that my father David was not able to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord his God because of the many wars waged against him by surrounding nations. He could not build until the Lord gave him victory over all his enemies. But now the Lord my God has given me peace on every side. I have no enemies, and all is well. So I am planning to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord my God, just as he had instructed my father David. For the Lord told him, your son, whom I will place on your throne, will build the temple to honor my name. Therefore, please command that cedars from Lebanon be cut for me. Let my men work alongside yours, and I will pay your men whatever wages you ask. As you know, there is no one among us who can cut timber like your Sidonians. When Hiram received Solomon's message, he was very pleased and said, praise the Lord today for giving David a wise son to be king of the great nation of Israel. Then he sent this reply to Solomon. I have received your message, and I will supply all the cedar and cypress timber you need. My servants will bring the logs from the Lebanon mountains to the Mediterranean Sea and make them into rafts and float them along the coast to whatever place you choose. Then we will break the rafts apart so you can carry the logs away. You can pay me by supplying me with food for my household. So Hiram supplied as much cedar and cypress timber as Solomon desired. In return, Solomon sent him an annual payment of 100,000 bushels of wheat for his household and 110,000 gallons of pure olive oil. So the Lord gave wisdom to Solomon just as he had promised, and Hiram and Solomon made a formal alliance of peace. Then King Solomon conscripted a labor force of 30,000 men from all Israel. He sent them to Lebanon in shifts, 10,000 every month, so that each man would be 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of this labor force. Solomon also had 70,000 common laborers, 80,000 quarry workers in the hill country, and 3,600 foremen to supervise the work. At the king's command, they quarried large blocks of high-quality stone and shaped them to make foundations of the temple. Men from the city of Gebel helped Solomon's and Hiram's builders prepare the timber and stone for the temple. Chapter 6, episode 115.2. Solomon builds the temple. It was in mid-spring in the month of Ziv, during the fourth year of Solomon's reign, that he began to construct the temple of the Lord. This was 480 years after the people of Israel were rescued from their slavery in the land of Egypt. The temple that King Solomon built for the Lord was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. The entire room at the front of the temple was 30 feet wide, running across the entire width of the temple. It projected outward 15 feet from the front of the temple. Solomon also made narrow recessed windows throughout the temple. He built a complex of rooms against the outer walls of the temple, all the way around the sides and rear of the building. The complex was 3 stories high, the bottom floor being 7.5 feet wide, the second floor 9 feet wide, and the top floor 10.5 feet wide. The rooms were connected to the walls of the temple by beams resting on ledges built out from the wall, so the beams were not inserted into the walls themselves. The stones used in the construction of the temple were finished at the quarry, so there was no sound of hammer, axe, or any other iron tool at the building site. The entrance to the bottom floor was on the south side of the temple. There were winding stairs going up to the second floor and another flight of stairs between the second and third floors. After completing the temple structure, Solomon put in a ceiling made of cedar beams and planks. As already stated, he built a complex of rooms along the sides of the building attached to the temple walls by cedar timbers, Each story of the complex was 7.5 feet high. Then the Lord gave this message to Solomon concerning this temple you are building. If you keep all my decrees and regulations and obey my commands, I will fulfill through you the promise I made to your father David. I will live among the Israelites and will never abandon my people. The temple's interior. So Solomon finished the temple. The entire inside from floor to ceiling was paneled with wood. He paneled the walls and ceilings with cedar, and he used planks of cypress for the floors. He partitioned off an inner sanctuary, the most holy place. At the end of the temple, it was 30 feet deep and was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. The main room of the temple outside the most holy place was 60 feet long. Cedar paneling completely covered the stone walls throughout the temple, and the paneling was decorated with carvings of gourds and open flowers. He prepared the inner sanctuary at the far end of the temple, where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant would be placed. This inner sanctuary was 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 30 feet high. He overlaid the inside with solid gold. He also overlaid the altar made of cedar. Then Solomon overlaid the rest of the temple's interior with solid gold, and he made gold chains to protect the entrance to the most holy place. So he finished overlaying the entire temple with gold, including the altar that belonged to the most holy place. He made two cherubim of wild olive wood, each 15 feet tall, and placed them in the inner sanctuary. The wingspan of each of the cherubim was 15 feet, each wing being 7.5 feet long. The two cherubim were identical in shape and size. Each was 15 feet tall. He placed them side by side in the inner sanctuary of the temple. Their outspread wings reached from wall to wall, while their inner wings touched at the center of the room. He overlaid the two cherubim with gold. He decorated all the walls of the inner sanctuary and the main room with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. He overlaid the floor in both rooms with gold. For the entrance to the inner sanctuary, he made double doors of wild olive wood with five-sided doorposts. These double doors were decorated with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. The doors, including the decorations of cherubim and palm trees, were overlaid with gold. Then he made four-sided doorposts of wild olive wood for the entrance of the temple. There were two folding doors of cypress wood, and each door was hinged to fold back upon itself. These doors were decorated with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, all overlaid evenly with gold. The walls of the inner courtyard were built so that there was one layer of cedar beams between every three layers of finished stone. The foundation of the Lord's temple was laid in mid-spring in the month of Ziv during the fourth year of Solomon's reign. The entire building was completed in every detail by mid-autumn in the month of Bul. I don't know what those mean. During the 11th year of his reign. So it took 7 years to build the temple. All right. So I don't know what Ziv or Bul is, but it might say, well, there's little asterisks there. So let's see, it says Hebrew in the month of, this month of the ancient Hebrew lunar calendar usually occurs within the months of April and May. Okay. All right, let's go back to chapter 5, where there are preparations for building the temple. So King Hiram, who was a loyal friend to David, learned that Solomon took over, and he sent ambassadors to congratulate Solomon. And then Solomon sends a message back to Hiram. And I highlighted this. He could not build until the Lord gave him victory over all of his enemies. But now the Lord, my God, has given me peace on every side. We know that from the last chapter. I have no enemies and all is well. So I am planning to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord, my God, just as he had instructed my father, David. For the Lord told him, your son, whom I will place on your throne, will build the temple to honor my name. Just like I said earlier, right? Then I popped down to, after Hiram received Solomon's message, he praised the Lord today for giving David a wise son to be the king of the great nation of Israel. Then he sent this reply to Solomon, saying, I've received your message, and I'm going to supply the cedar and cypress. My servants are going to cut logs, and we'll float them to you. So in 10, Hiram supplied as much cedar and cypress timber as Solomon needed. And then down at the end there, and Hiram and Solomon made a formal alliance of peace. So there's peace between Lebanon, is that right, and Israel, which there is none, I don't think, today, but I'm not a historian. So then we go into, and then it you know, tells us how many people are working. There's a lot. There's, you know, you've got 30,000 men that he sent to Lebanon every month, so that it rotated through, so that, you know, you're in Lebanon for a month and then you stay home for 2 months, which kind of sounds like our own deployments for our military. You go on deployment for 6 months and you're home for a year. Same thing. All right. Into chapter 6. It was in the mid-spring in the month of Ziv, so it's correct, April or May, that's what it said, during the fourth year of Solomon's reign. The temple that King Solomon built for the Lord was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. That's pretty high. That's like, you know, and it sounds to me like it was three floors. The complex was three stories high. If you go down into six, I didn't highlight that, but I am now. The bottom floor being 7.5 feet wide, the second floor 9 feet wide, and the top floor was 10.5 feet wide. So if it was 45 feet high, divide that by three. So three into four, so that's like 17 feet for each floor. That's pretty high, right? Something like that. Okay. And then I flipped over to the next page. The entrance to the bottom floor was on the south side of the temple. There were winding stairs going up to the second floor and another flight of stairs between the second and third floor. I don't know why I highlighted that. I guess I figured I wanted to know how they were getting between the floors. I don't know. And then I went down into 11. Concerning this temple you are building, because this is God talking, the Lord gave this message to Solomon. If you keep all my decrees and regulations and obey all my commands, I will fulfill through you the promise I made to your father, David. I will live among the Israelites and will never abandon my people. So as long as they're obedient, he's going to live amongst them at the temple, right? And then they partitioned off an inner sanctuary called the Most Holy Place. And then it goes into a lot of details about, you know, length and height and all that stuff. I didn't highlight anything until the very end, where I highlighted again the month of Ziv, which is the spring. And that's during the fourth year of Solomon's reign. So if it was the first, okay, let's go back. Okay, well, it ended up taking 7 years to build the temple. I don't know, I didn't highlight all that, where the markers were for the time period, but it says it took 7 years to build the temple, which is not unheard of. You know, I mean, I've seen, you know, I've been living here in California since 2016 and they still haven't fixed the road that leads into our little area here, so you know. That's 8 years we've been here, and it's still the same crummy. It's getting worse, too. Anyway. All right. Well, that is it for today. This is the building of the temple. And then, of course, tomorrow it's going to be about Solomon builds a palace for himself. That's a really huge, it's a long chapter. And it's going to be a lot of, I think, details about what it looks like and measurements and stuff like that. But I believe, you know, God is a God of order. There's a reason. He's a God of details. And he wants to be clear on, you know, what the palace looks like, what the temple looks like, and everything that goes into it. So there's a reason, and so we should read through it. We shouldn't skip through it. So, and that's what I'm here for, is to help you to stay on track, to keep reading your Bible, no matter how. I use this word, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to God's word, but it's tedious to read this stuff, you know, and you know, maybe for somebody who's an architect or an engineer, this is interesting to them, and maybe they can figure out what it might look like. I am not either one of those things, so I read in obedience to God, because God tells us to read our Bible every day, so that's what I'm doing. All right, well, that's it for today. I have gone on long enough, but as always, I will never end this episode or this time in God's Word without giving anybody out there the opportunity to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you have not done that, if you are still figuring it out or searching it out, or maybe you want to but you don't know how to say it, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that God helped me with. I didn't just, you know, pull this out of thin air. But it's not a magic prayer that I can't save you. God saves you because you want to be saved. So this is just your way of saying it out loud. You're supposed to receive Christ into your heart and say it out loud through your mouth. So I'm going to say the prayer, and you can say it with me. And I hope today is your day. I really do. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. Welcome into this adopted family of Jesus Christ. God picked you. God wanted you. He chose you to be his adopted daughter or son. Today's a day of celebration. Mark it down either in your Bible, under today's reading, on your calendar, in your phone. But remember, today is your day that you receive Christ. It's a whole new life. It's a whole new birthday. Tell the person you know that's been praying for you, because there's somebody out there who's been praying for you. Might be more than one person. I don't know. But go and celebrate. Go out for dinner. We strongly suggest that you get to a church or a pastor, somebody who can help navigate you to the next step. Maybe it's the person who was praying for you who can help you out. Maybe they've invited you to go to church. Go to church this Sunday or Saturday night, whatever night the services are. But get involved with your church. Pray about it. Figure out what the gifts are that God gave you to use, and either get into the ministry or work for a ministry, volunteer for a ministry, whatever that might be. Get into a Bible study. Maybe you're interested in mission work and seeing the world and helping people in other parts of the world, or in this own country, whatever country you live in. Whatever that might be. Just get working for God. This is, I've said this before, this is, you don't sit on the sidelines. You need to be active in furthering the kingdom. What do I say? Spectator sport. This is not a spectator sport. You're not sitting watching tennis. Go get involved. Start playing. Or maybe play pickleball. I don't know. Whatever it might be. That's like the popular sport of the day right now. Well, I think that's it. Oh, wait, hold on. So if you did get saved, or if you have need of prayer or whatever, maybe you just want to make a comment about this particular episode, whatever it might be, you can email us, Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. Leave a message on Facebook or Instagram. Whatever that might be, whatever, however you want to communicate with us. We would love to hear from you if you did get saved. That would be amazing. Or like I said, like I was praying for Teresa today. She openly said it was fine to use her name, and so I'm good with that. But that's it for today. I don't know what time of day it is. It could be morning, noon, or night. It might not even be today. It might be next year. It might be tomorrow. I have no idea. But whatever it is, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you sat here for this 30 minutes. I'm sorry it got a little lengthy, but I'm glad you were here. So God bless you. Have a great one, and I will see you tomorrow.